Good morning and welcome to church. My name is Richard and it's good to be here, good to lead and love this church, love this family. And we're going to spend the next two Sundays very, very special. We're going to spend them together looking at what God is doing in this church. So this is really a great time. Every year we have a number of messages or Sundays that we dedicate to where we're going as a church. There was a guy who had a convertible and he had two penguins in the back seat. He was cruising down the road with two penguins in the back seat and a policeman sees him cruising by. So the policeman gives chase, checks him down, pulls him to the side and says, "Hey, you got two penguins in the back seat?" And the guy said, "Yes, officer, sure." He said, "Take them to the zoo right now." "Yes, officer." So he drives off to the zoo. The next day, you wouldn't believe it. He's cruising down the road. The same cop on the same corner sees the same man in the same convertible with the same two penguins. The cop couldn't believe it. His eyes burst open. He chases the convertible, pulls him over. He says, "Excuse me, sir. I told you to take the penguins to the zoo." He said, "Yes, officer. We did go to the zoo. We had such a great time. Today we're going to the beach." Clear communication can be a problem. Isn't that right, husbands? All those words. My goodness, all those words. Okay, girls, here's your turn. Communication can be a problem, can't they, wives? Girls, you missed your moment. I set you up there. Or all females, all girls, communication can be a problem, right? Especially cross-culturally, we've got our Viber app and our WhatsApp app and our Sam, we've got our emails, we've got this, we've got Messenger, we've got everything, ZDBCD, we've got everything going on, 10 apps all night long, messaging, all, but we still have communication problems. In the urban home, that's me by the way, in my house, Monday night is family time. We're so busy now, everyone's working and got studying and cars and I mean, really, if you visit our house, it's like a car lot. Monday night, we gather all the troops and their special friends. And we have lovely Diana living with us, beautiful young woman of God. And we gather everyone. In fact, if you come over on a Monday night, you can sit at the table. We always have a family night. Now, one thing we do on a Monday night, family night, is we eat dinner. I know it's a really odd idea, but we actually sit around a table. We turn the television off, we have no phones at the table, and we actually talk. We say grace, we try to use our manners, we try to not talk with our mouth full. We do all those kinds of things, at least in my culture, and we have a great time. But one of the things after the meal is we talk about, hey, so what's happening this week? Because we live quite dynamic lives. And it impacts meal management, it impacts, you know, all kinds of things. And so we do communication. They're all, except for our lovely Chinese homestay, we're all same culture, all speak good English. We have a great time. We even have apps. We've got family group. We've got group chats. We've got this. We've got everything happening. But still, every week, there's a communication breakdown. I thought you were doing dishes. I forgot to. We always have family time communication problems. The next two Sundays is family time. If you're a visitor here today, welcome. We're glad you're here. In fact, it's a very good time to be here because you can kind of look into the family. Most weeks, most Sundays, we open up the text, we expose the text, we pick themes, we pick ideas, and we preach the Bible. But there's a few Sundays we stop and we look at where we're going as a church. I love the local church. Can somebody say amen? I love the local church. The local church is what Jesus is building. I will build my church. He's not building parachurch. He's not building isolated, independent, rebellious, so-called believers. He's building churches, the church which is comprised of the local churches all across the planet. I love the local church. The local church is a representative of Jesus. We just sang about it, the hands and the feet of Jesus. I love the local church. The local church is the, Paul says, the pillar of truth. This country, this nation, our society and all its blessings and benefits would absolutely crumble without the good work and the influence of the local church of all kinds and persuasions. I love the local church. Local church does not always do church very well because we have these people there, these things called humans. And we have divisions and splits and offenses and all of that. But I want to tell you, over 2,000 years of the local church, despite persecution, sometimes at gunpoint, despite all that the devil puts out from within the church and from outside the church, she continually she grows and she becomes more radiant and beautiful and she mobilizes because Jesus says, I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. You cannot stop this force, this radical movement of transformation, this revolutionary guard of people moving forward and influencing. I love the local. Did I say I love the local church? I love this local church. Church is an organism made up of human beings. Like you and me, living human beings that depend on one another. We are an organism, but we are also an organization. And organizations always need clear communication. Isn't that right? So today and next Sunday, I'm really hoping that we can clearly communicate some exciting things that God is going to do. Some people talk about dreams, hopes, purpose, goals, plans. We're going to use the word vision today. But you'll find all those words in the Bible. We're just going to use the word vision. Whatever you call it, it's a picture of the future that moves you. It's not just a case of having a nice statement or a few images. It's something, a vision is something that propels you. It lives on the inside and it motivates you to do what you do. It's not hard for me to get to church or go to encounter or share the gospel with a neighbor. It's not hard because I'm moved by it. I'm motivated by it. This church has a vision. It's never changed and it will never change. We make disciples. We plant churches. We honor God. Full stop, exclamation mark. If you don't want to do that, there's other great churches doing other wonderful things. Starting children's camps, running events and doing whatever. God bless them. If you want to go there, go there. This is what we do. Make disciples. We honor God. We make disciples. We plant churches. We raise leaders. We're missional. We're like the SAS squad. We're not so much the general infantry. We're more the SAS. We like to stick to our lane and do exactly what God has called us to do. We're going to plant churches, and we're going to continue to do what God's called us to do. But you're going to hear details about that next week. About 3 months ago, I was sitting in a cafe with some good friends of mine. Some of you might know them. Pastor Wee Yong, Enfei Wong Si, Pastor Alfred Chong, and I think Ghani was there. Is it Ghani? We're sitting in a cafe. Mikey, you might have, were you there, Mikey? I'm not, you, Mikey was there. Sorry, Mikey, my memory's going a little bit. Don't be offended now. We're sitting in a cafe and we're talking about things. We're enjoying our big old brekkie, bacon and eggs and sausages and tomato and hash browns and lattes and I'm getting hungry as I think about it right now. What's for lunch? Okay, just wondering. Okay, we're sitting there and we're talking about things about church life. You see, that's really our five C's, our strategic team. And we're going busy about our business, and up next to us pops this elderly man He comes to the table and he says, I've been eavesdropping. I don't want to eavesdrop, but I couldn't help but overhear. And he began to share parts of Isaiah 42. And I thought, what's going on here? But as he began to share, I began to realize this was a divine appointment. He shared Isaiah 42, and his name is Des Short. He's actually the founder and principal of Faith Bible College in Tauranga. He's a renowned Bible teacher and international speaker. And he came and he spoke to us. He was very apologetic. He didn't mention his name. He was not a self-promoting gentleman in any way, shape, and form. The cafe happened to be right next door to Radio Rima. And he was off to do something, but he heard and he shared pieces of Isaiah 42. Let me read this out to you. Verses 5 to 9. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people in it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you a covenant to the people as a light to the Gentiles. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you them. Before they spring forth, it's prophesying, it's vision casting what the future would look like. I was blown away. First of all, I was blown away at his ability to recite scripture for a man that looked very advanced in years. But the Spirit of God began to speak to me. It was a real moment of endorsement for our church and our vision and what we're doing. It talked about new things, former things, new things. Before we talk about the new things ahead of us, this is what is in my heart today. This entire setup, everything, designed to honor God, to remember what he's done. We are so easily pursuing and persuaded by new things, we often forget to take stock of and to remember the great things that have already happened. Today, we're going to stop, take a deep breath. In fact, why don't you all join me with a deep breath? Let's inhale and then slowly exhale. We're going to take a deep breath and reflect upon what God has already done. You know, it's good to remember, at least the good times. Isn't that the power of a great photograph? A home video? Music. You could just hear a couple of bars or a little bass riff or something, and it can take me all the way back to 1988. Some classic rock song. Things help us to remember. Movies can remind us. We have diplomas and certificates to remind us of good times and accomplishments. Sometimes we find ourselves in a funeral, remembering a life. Maybe you don't really know the person who's just passed very well, but it causes you to remember your parents, your sibling, or maybe your child that is currently in heaven. Weddings cause us to remember when we first got married, right? It's good to remember. It's good to stop and remember. Some things don't need to be remembered, though, do they? Maybe they could be forgotten, like your childhood sweetheart. Or maybe those clothes you used to wear in the 70s. Was anybody born in the 70s here, by the way? Oh, we've got some 70s. 60s. Oh, my goodness. Whatever, your era. Anybody born in like 90s? Oh, okay, we'll leave it right there. I'm feeling super old right now. I'm going to have to go for some more Botox treatment. I can see it right now. Forget it, man. It's a dead loss. I'm just sucking time until I go meet Jesus. No, I'm just joking. The flared pants and all that. Some things just need to be left and forgotten, right? As a church, we take photographs of events for the purpose of remembering. We asked our AV people, are you okay to take photos? And they say, no, we don't take photos. We record history. It's why we give certificates for baptism. It's why we do child dedication certificates. Even Jesus says, when we take communion, do this in remembrance of me. The Bible actually tells us to remember. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, it tells us to fear God and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has already done for you. Is it okay if we just stop and remember what he's done for us as a church? But I encourage you personally, we're so busy, we cram the time, we always are frustrated because we haven't got the new thing that we want right now. But if we just actually stop and look at what God has already done, you'll find gratitude and perspective will fill your heart and mind. People say forgive and forget. I don't agree. Forgive, yep, I agree with that for sure. Forget, no. I praise God that I don't forget my brokenness and my sin and my failure and my hurt. Those things no longer control me. I'm free from the power of those hurts and those brokenness and that stupidity and that outright rebellion for which there is much in my life. I thank you they no longer control me, but I never want to forget because they remind me of the beautiful grace of God. I don't think we should forgive and forget. I think we should forgive and remember what God has done for us. Psalm 105, verse 5 puts it this way: remember his marvelous works, which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. His marvelous works. This morning, I want you to hear the story of just one marvelous life, the work of God in her heart. When Jesus says, I will build the church, he's actually saying, I will build people. I'll rebuild people. That's the church is people. Can we say amen to that? It's not a building. It's not a steeple. We're getting a building. We're in a building for simply a tool to help us help people more. I want you to hear a real story. A real story about a real God. He does really amazing things in just this one life. And to help me with that, I want to ask her connect group leader to come up and to introduce her. Can we please put a round of applause or bring an invitation to Rita EU? Come on up, Rita.
Hi, good morning, church family. How are you guys? Who here loves to hear about God's transforming power in somebody's life? Only a few of you guys. How many? Well, this morning, I just want to introduce you to a new friend of mine. She's a mother of two beautiful daughters, and I have the privilege to walk with her the last few months, and God has really changed her life and is continually doing so. So this morning she would like to share her life story with you. So could you show her some love and put your hands together for Donna Young.
Great, Rita.
Hi, church family. Hey, I'm just going to center myself here. Okay, so First thing I wanted to say is thank you. It's not quite my life story because it hasn't ended. And I'm just at, I'm hopefully not quite halfway. And I was just listening to Isaiah
42.
I thought, wow, it's already written. Okay. Hello, my name is Donna Young. I was an only child brought up in a dysfunctional family. The main words I often heard growing up was, off you go, Donna, but not in a not so nice way. In the end, that's just what I did. I left. I ran. By the age of 14, I lived in a children's homes, and I also moved out onto the streets of Auckland. All around me, the norm was to smoke pot. My new best friend became marijuana. She helped me to hide from my rejection, abandonment, and fears. At the age of 19, I had my first daughter, Jessica, my first love. The relationship with her father did not last. I quickly realized he was not my savior. I was content. I studied and worked and loved being a single mum, but I could never let go of my best friend, marijuana. She comforted me. After a few years, I started dating again. Got the shakes. I started dating again. Both of us with trust issues, brokenness, and addiction. We had an on-again, off-again dysfunctional relationship for 7 years, and I was blessed with my second daughter, Sophia. This relationship ended during the late stages of my pregnancy. He also was not my savior. I love my little family of three girls against the world. I often went in and out of my parents' lives seeking love, approval, and acceptance. In 2011, I was elated when my father wanted to start a car yard in Grey Lynn with me. I felt safe. I was finally feeling good enough. It was just me and my dad, a father and daughter team. It was booming. As the money started rolling in, my dad started changing. He brought in the gangs and drugs. I pleaded with my dad to choose me in the business. He chose the gangs and the drugs. I ran. I had gone full circle. I grabbed my girls and I kept running to Palmerston North, my hometown. My sense of control was unraveling, depression was darkening my doorstep, and I leaned on my addiction of marijuana more. Jesus started calling me. I heard his call through the music of the Salvation Army Brass Band. My girls and I attended their church the following Sunday. I had never been to church before. I felt a feeling of peace and calmness. Still to this day, I believe I was God-led to church. He knew before I did it was time. I was ready. Within 6 months, I was also attending Recovery Church. Recovery Church introduced me to who Jesus really was. He healed the brokenhearted and he set the captives free. Jesus met me in that room every Tuesday night as I received revelation from testimony after testimony. To the outside world, I could paint the perfect picture. But not often would I drop my mask or expose myself from behind the scene. Gently, Jesus started transitioning me. I no longer could hide my brokenness, defeat, retreat, bury my head, or run away. He was the potter, I was the clay. Transitioning hurts. January 2015, my father moved into my family home with stage 4 cancer. He brought with him disruption and grief. I cried out to Jesus in prayer. I don't know what to do. For the first time, I heard his comforting reply. I am who I am, and you love me. He is who he is, and you love him anyway. Those words carried me through as I walked my father to his end of days. Jesus knew my strengths and weaknesses. He allowed me to honor my father and let him go with forgiveness in my heart. My grandmother, my father's mother, in her grief, blamed me for my father's death. She disowned me on his deathbed. My mother, living local, hated my father. She stayed away and took any other family support with her. Once again, through a time of need, the girls and I stood alone. Finally, here it is. I have hit rock bottom. I shut down. Emotionally drained, isolated, I was drowning myself in my own addiction and self-sabotage. I was blind. I could not see. Jesus reached me through Jessica. She also was ready to leave. She was not going to sit and watch me in my darkness. This woke me up, and it woke me up fast. I wouldn't allow us to break up. I loved my little family of three. July 2016, I stopped using marijuana and I started moving forward one day at a time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In November 2017, I attended Every Nation's Freedom Weekend. Whew. Women's Freedom Weekend. There I stripped back more layers. Finally, I surrendered control and submitted fully and gave my heart to Jesus. I was saved. I had broken the cycle. I was free. The following weekend, Jessica and I were baptized together at Herne Bay Beach. What a day to rejoice. We have been risen again together into new life. Jesus is calming my internal storms, freed me of my addiction, given me mercy and grace, renewed my heart. He is teaching me how to forgive and let go. He's given me hope and a purpose when I had none. He has guided me to this spiritual family to have a place to belong. I am worthy. I am forgiven. I know my Lord knows me. I am his child and he loves me unconditionally. I have finally found my Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Donna. That was huge. We've been working on it all week. And it's your story. Or maybe it's God's story. God's the Father. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's priceless. It brings us right back to why we do what we do. And it might put a little perspective into our own daily issues. But that is one story. That's actually only part of a developing story. She's been able to cut things out to compress it down. But from the homeless to finding a home in heaven and on earth right here. It's beautiful, isn't it? And I'm really, really grateful. That is one story. It's a powerful story. It is only one. It's one of many that we have. And we've prepared a little video just to recap and look over the last year. And just a few highlights. It's not everything, but it's a few highlights. And I hope you enjoy it. Let's run that video.
With enthusiasm and faith, we will reflect on major events and results, and anything else that has brought about spiritual and numeric growth. 2017 started with the Next Conference, first time for us to host a conference in New Zealand with the help of Every Nation Southside. All the Oceania churches came together to go to the next level. We launched our youth ministry called ENY and gathered together youth. It was exciting, and about 30 high schoolers came together Friday nights to have fun and become more like Jesus. We launched three new powerful meetings, Unleash, Encounter, and Disciple Makers. Unleash, strengthening and refreshing our leaders. Encounter, the power of God is moving. Disciple Makers, training and equipping members to make disciples. Pastor Larry was here in Auckland, prophesying over our leaders as we move forward to advance His kingdom. Last October, we moved our offices and operations into our new church home at 9 Karaka Street in Interiors, Auckland. All this and having our city covered with dynamic and growing connect groups had made last year another fruitful year. During this last year, we have seen God do amazing things so many lives. Total Sunday attendance has grown by 18%, now an average of 273, almost doubled since Every Nation Auckland Central was birthed 4 years ago. Kids Church Sunday attendance has grown by 19%. Our Connect Group attendance is up by 30%. 53 people gave their lives for Jesus this year. 27, baptism, new beginning, new life, many cultures and ages. 51 new members added to our spiritual fold. Last year, Miracle Offering brought in nearly $240,000 for establishing our very first church home. We thank God for His blessing and for bringing the growth. We sow the seed, we water the seed, but it is God who causes the growth.
Woo! Let's give God some praise! Today's all about bragging on God. I want you to know something. Let's move to the next slide if we could. I want you to know something here. This is how many people were baptized in the last 4 years. Let's go to the next slide. By the way, for those that really need a number, that last slide was 86. This one, these are the number of people, adults, not children, not youth. They're very valuable, but they come under their parents when they join the church. In the last 4 years, this many people joined this church family. 195. Now, here's a bit that probably causes my heart to leap more than anything, is that 25%, one quarter of those people were saved in this church, saved in this ministry. A quarter. Now, that is huge. I was talking to two pastor friends of mine, not mentioning anything about a number, just learning about how they do stuff. How much of your growth? 1, 2%, 3%, 4%, 25%. We praise God for solid transfer growth, but what we want is we want to see God open the hearts of men and women. 25% is huge. And that's not even children. We've had children give their lives to God, and youth have given their lives to God. 195. That puts our church family is now pushing towards nearly 400 people. It's nearly doubled in the last 4 years. Now, we're not focusing on growth. We're focusing on health. Spiritual health, health of our soul, missional health, that all of us would share the gospel, the numbers will take care of themselves. It's about people. It's not numbers. It's about names. But this shows us that something's happening, and when it's incremental week after week, we don't think much is happening. But when you look back and you just go back, you go, God, you're amazing. Because this is what I realized, that I can do nothing. I am not anything. Jesus is everything. Our staff and our excellent volunteers are not anything compared to God. It's God who brings the growth. Every life that comes into this place, that is saved through this ministry, that is baptized in this place, every child that is dedicated to the Lord, every heart that's opened up like Donna, every marriage that is restored, is all because of God. Only He can go deep within our hearts and change our hearts, transform our minds. We create the atmosphere. We create the opportunity. We create the whole thing, but God's got to show up. And I thank God that He is with us. This is not just repetitive events and cycles hoping to make it till Jesus comes back, ladies and gentlemen. We are advancing. We're touching the nations that come here. We're touching people. The 195 are across the globe. We thank God for every single one of them. My final scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. A little argument has broken out. These people are arguing about who the best connect group leader is. Some are popping along to, you know, Paul's connect group, and some are going to Apollos' connect group. And they're kind of arguing, you know, how many you got and what's going on up there? Who's the better speaker? Who's the better pastor? Who's the better preacher? All this typical Christian, you know, criticisms are going on. And Paul blows a whistle. He says, stop! In fact, before this, he addresses them and he rebukes them for their immaturity. You're behaving like lost people. This is what Paul says in verse 5. He says, who then is Paul? Paul's saying about himself, who am I? And who's Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, ladies and gentlemen. He says, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it's God who brings the increase. It is God, my friend. It is God that saves people, not our ability to manipulate and sell something. It's got to be God that opens up the heart. It all begins with God who reveals himself to the spirits of men. And the sin that comes up, the conscience awakens. It's God. It's him. God, are you listening? You're awesome. All of the fruit, your honor, it's all because of him. Every person being at every heart that's been healed, every relationship restored. All of his marvelous works. We can't capture a number and record somebody who is depressed and now lives with joy. How do we capture numbers where there's no family, separated, broken, and they find spiritual family? How, you can measure members, but there's things that happen in the hearts of people. There's the joy of the Lord that's replaced for sadness. Peace comes where there's pain, generational pain, addictions and failure and condemnation. The God comes and he breaks it and he washes it all away. Hope. How do we measure hope? There's so much more beyond those graphs and beyond those numbers, growth and health and God doing his beautiful work, marvelous works in the hearts of people. Lord, for you we say all honor and all glory and all praise be unto you. Can we give Jesus a great big round of applause? I'm so proud of God. I'm not even sure if that's theologically correct. I'm so proud of him. He's so secure. He's not intimidated. He's not threatened. He's so complete. He's so focused. And he's chosen us to partner with him, to let his power flow through us. We are nothing but conduits. Blessed vehicles, vessels that he can flow through to touch other people, to do his incredible work of redemption and building people. We have a vision, and it's just to continue what we've been doing. But next week, we're going to reveal to you some key, specific, I think, significant goals and plans. And some of them are big, hairy goals. We're stepping out in faith. Some of us are putting everything into this. No plan B. God is with us. Who can be against us? I'm going to talk next week about Jonathan and his armor bearer. Took on the entire Philistine army, two men, because they dared to believe. They dared to believe. But for today, I just want to bask in God's goodness in our church. I don't take one life for granted. Not one child, not one young person for granted. Regardless of their culture, regardless of their age, God loves them and so do we. And we thank God for what he's doing. God has got even greater things to do, hasn't he? Amen? We're going to talk about it next year, next week. There's more lives to reach. There's more seats to fill. There's more nationalities to come. There's more of his power we're seeking. If you were there last night, I don't know how many we had, 70 or 80 people. People were filled with the Holy Spirit and burst into the gift of tongues. People, for the first time, we had two prophetic ministries rolling. People getting prophesied, interceding for the city and praying for you. The power of God was beautiful. It just took off, didn't it? I was trying to bring it down. I gave clear instructions to the worship leader, but the hunger of the people began to rise and we just couldn't stop the train. We want more of God's goodness, God's power, not for ourselves, but for others. Amen? We're going to close out with a song. We're going to sing that song, Make Room for the Lord. And we've got time. We're good for time. Praise the Lord. We're going to have it all over by 12. We're working on our time frames. But I want you to just say, Lord, thank you. If this is your church family, say, Lord, thank you Lord, and maybe reassess, are you involved? Are you giving? I want to say welcome to the party. Get involved. We need help. Most of our ministries need help. Praise God. We're going to talk more about that next week. We're going to cast some very audacious goals, some big hairy goals. If everybody gets on board, it's done. Did you know that? God wants to do stuff. He's put the vision in my heart. As a team, we're totally gathered around it. If everybody got involved and gave and served, the vision would become a reality. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet if we can. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Father. Let me just pray for you. Father, thank you for what you've done. Lord, thank you. We honor you today. We give you glory and praise, Lord, for every life. Lord, every donor, Lord, that you've reached. Lord, you've taken them, Lord, from the street, Lord, to the palace. Lord, everyone that you've taken away despair and addiction, and you've put hope and purpose and joy. Lord, we thank you for every life, everyone that's been touched, Father God. We honor you today. And we pray, Lord, for more. We ask you, sir, for more nations, more people, more broken families. Lord, we ask you, Father God, for more cities to plant churches. We ask you, God, Lord, reveal and empower. We pray for this local church to rise up, to continue to be strong and generous, Lord, and full of the power and the joy of God. We honor you, Lord. Let's give them praise and worship to them this morning.